And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today via telephone is Dr. John Vance. And Pastor Vance, it's wonderful to have you back with us today.
Oh, it's good to be with you, Dan. Good to be with you always.
Whenever I talk with you, I get that settled feeling like all is well, and it may not be well with you, but that's the feeling I get. And so,
no, like the old hymn, it's well with my soul.
Yeah,
we're never free from. I look at life as a prickly pear.
Yes,
it's rough and uneven. In our families and things like that, and in our churches, and it's just the way it is. But at the same time, all is well with my soul.
Amen. Amen. That's right. This is kind of a potpourri of subjects today. Before we opened the mic, I was talking a little bit about the FCC and a commissioner interview I saw with one of the commissioners, and he was talking about 5G. And in his mind, the thing that really stood out about 5G and our telephones is the networking protocol, how it's so much better than what we had with 4G. And as far as the radiation, it doesn't penetrate as far as 4G does. So it was kind of interesting. It, in part, confirmed some of my particular understandings, and it was very interesting. But that led us to the usual, you know, talking about current events. And Pastor Vance, there's a big current event going on right now, which I'm hoping fades away. But we see district judges, federal judges, making a decision and binding us at a federal level, basically kind of steering outside of their lane regarding these deportations, et cetera. So maybe you could talk to that a little bit. What have you observed? And with your wisdom and years of experience, maybe you have some comments.
Let me frame it this way. Judging, of course, is an important matter, to say the least. The supreme judge of all, of course, we will all stand before one day and be judged rightly, not wrongly, and nothing in our lives shall escape his gaze and does not. But we are judged through Christ, and I'm thankful for that he sees me through the righteousness of Christ. So underneath us are the arms of an everlasting God, but he's also our judge. And so humans being in the image of God have the task and duty of judging. Judges were appointed during the time of Moses when things got too heavy for him. The burden was too great and so forth. So it's a human activity, but is by divine institution. We should not forget that. And let me say that I have respect for courts and judges, and I hope we do not lose that in our country. But I'm afraid, due to the abuse that we are seeing every day by these district judges, it is harming our judicial system to no end. And let me just elaborate a second. I think there are 94. I'm not sure. I heard that number. 94 federal districts. And we normally, and it's been the practice that these judges, the people that come before them, the parties, they are judged, and what the decision is, it applies to those parties only. But what is happening, and everyone is quite aware of it who is listening to the news, these judges are making their decisions apply all across the country, not just their own district, but all 94 districts.
Yeah.
And this seems to me to be a continuation of the lawfare that we noticed when President Trump was in office the first 4 years, and during the time he was not in office, when his home was raided and everything else, and all of these lawsuits were filed against him. How many impeachments now? And we got another one working. One representative has filed articles of impeachment. This is all lawfare in one real sense to prevent our president from from exercising his powers as the executive and the executive branch. So, yeah, I think it's a serious matter, to say the least. And what concerns me most, of course, I think this will all work out, but it certainly delays everything. But what concerns me most is the credibility of the courts. And what is this doing to erode it? Oh, my land.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I'm glad you framed it the way you did. We have the highest regard and respect for our judges and also for law enforcement, for that matter. But we need good judges. I have a son who, as he's thought about his life's work later on in life, I think he has an interest in being a town judge or at some level. He's always had an interest in that, and I think you probably know which son I'm talking about.
Yes.
it's not time yet, but it's kind of interesting. I know that he used to work in the jail, and during his spare time, he would study the law. It's not everybody that does that, and so he's got a mind for it, and I think he would make a great judge, but... No, we love our judges, but when we see that they're not staying within their lane and making decisions that bind us all, then can I say it? Those are fighting words. You don't do that, Mr. Judge. Stay in your lane. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the scriptures warn us clearly about judging. I mean, we have to judge. But that famous verse in Proverbs, don't show partiality in judging.
Yes.
For it's not good. This is a historic problem, though. I think we have more of it today than we've ever had in our country. I don't know our history as thoroughly as some people do, but I know a bit about our American history.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we've ever had this before. Now, we've had some very rogue judges, but we've not had it from one side.
Yes.
Of the political equation. To this extent, it just seems to be saturated in the minds of the left that they want to get Trump. It is Trump derangement syndrome.
Oh yeah,
that they'll not stop at this.
I think this is going to have a boomerang effect that perhaps the left does not realize or appreciate yet. They are in essence fighting for the gangs, MS-13, murderers, rapists, etc. And sometimes we can see it in that they let these people loose on our streets, but that doesn't bode well for their further existence in our land as a party that is supposed to be for the people. It's very much against the people, in my opinion, at this point.
It's a strike, in my mind, at citizenship.
Yeah.
The left has conflated citizenship and those who have permission to travel in our country or to study, they are two different things. Now, there are the right of citizenship means that you have all of those things that are covered by the Constitution.
Yes.
And you have freedom of speech, you have this, you have that. But when we allow students, for instance, and I used to teach, as you well know, and
yes, you did.
In fact, I know three young men right now that attend our church that are from, one's from Mexico and two are from Brazil, and they play soccer.
Yeah.
In the area here for a college. And I asked them about their visas. Everything is okay. And they said, yes, but we give these visas out to these students so that they might study here. And we ask them ahead of time, what is your purpose for coming here? Well, it should be to study, but it should not be to riot and to promote causes and that sort of thing. Now, citizens have that right. But these are student visas. We treat the alien and the sojourner, as the scripture says, with dignity and honor when they have permission.
Correct.
As through our lands. But on the other hand, they do not have the same rights. And the left has conflated these people in our midst who are here by permission of work visas and other things as having the rights of citizenship. And it's not an accident. They're doing it purposely, and it's confusing people as to what rights apply to what persons in our society.
You know, it's a relief to hear you say that. Somebody finally speaks the truth. They don't have the same rights. And particularly if you have violated our laws and you became a lawbreaker the moment you set foot in America illegally. You didn't come through the front door. You didn't come through the right process. That makes you a criminal from day one. And so,
yes.
So in that sense, further, you don't have the same rights as a United States citizen. I love the idea, Pastor Vance, of our door being open. If you're willing to come in and obey our laws and come in the correct way and apply and go through the vetting, et cetera, et cetera. And as you well know, we have a daughter-in-law who did that. And she learned our language. She became a United States citizen. Very upstanding. Got a master's degree. I mean, you know, the best of the best in terms of human terms. It's not fair to her for somebody walking across our border, getting handouts from one of the parties that just wants to get votes, cheap votes. It's not right. It's not fair. It's not proper. It's not healthy to our society.
Well, we have three levels of people in our country. We have citizens. They have certain rights. We have people here by permission who are not citizens, usually students and work visas. And then we have illegals, which have no rights, except that they must be treated humanely,
yeah,
but escorted back to their own country, turned away. There's a fourth group, and you mentioned it with your daughter-in-law. Those who are waiting to become citizens in the United States of America, and it's a fairly lengthy process.
Oh, it was, yeah.
You have to study something about our history and government.
Absolutely.
You make certain pledges to support the Constitution. When the illegals flood this country, there is none of that going on.
No.
A country cannot survive with this kind of chaos. And I'm concerned not just for our own country, but I'm concerned for Europe. Europe is further along in this their cultures being undermined. The wholesale devastation to the West due to ignorance, deliberate trying to overthrow it. And believe me, there is a madness to the method of all this illegal
stuff.
Yes,
there is.
Happening.
Yep.
So yes, and our judges are not protecting us from this, as we see, and that is their job to do that.
Yep.
Well, the administrator is to protect us, but when his hands are tied behind it by judges, this is a danger for the country. It's a danger for the order of society.
Yes.
You know, societies and civilization is a very fragile matter. Civilization is like a thin crust on top of a seething, boiling humanity, and when you find that civilization breaks out, it's fragile. You have to maintain it and hold it. You know, who was it that said, "We've given you a republic if you can keep it"?
Yeah.
And it is something that we have to strive. Order in our society and decency is something you have to work at and strive, because as the scripture says, we are sinful human beings. And we favor our own desires and inclinations and not the welfare of another. And certainly we have to have people who will support our society in general and our government and order and so forth. I don't mean to filibuster here, but I woke up the other day listening to what's happening in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
The disorder that when they got rid of the police.
Oh, what a mess.
It's a mess there, and it still is, because they had a movement there, as you well know, in the George Floyd thing, where they wanted to disband the police altogether, get rid of the police. Well, that is absolutely the most stupidest thing you can possibly do if you understand human nature.
Do you remember that newscast, I forget which one, where the newscaster appeared in front of basically flames, and he says, "Well, it's basically peaceful. It's relatively peaceful." I'm thinking, what world are you from, sir? It makes no sense at all. Well, today we're talking with Dr. John Vance, and he has been a pastor. He served as a pastor for over 40 years, and he also was a professor at a college. So he had a very deep set of experiences, husband, father. So we appreciate your insights, Pastor Vance. We've talked a little bit about judges and the importance of them and how that we love our judges, but we want them to stay within their lane. You also mentioned something right at the opening that was pastoral. You reminded us that underneath us are the arms of the everlasting God. I've heard you make reference to that before. That's important to us as Christians, and I think as we age, it becomes even more important, or we feel it more in our gut. You want to talk about that for just a little bit?
Well, the image is strong in my mind. It has been for many years, going back and pastoring and preaching. And I approached almost all sermons with that image in mind, that underneath us are the everlasting arms. Otherwise, when we begin to think of the negative things in our society and the sinful things, we can despair over it if we're not careful.
Yeah.
But context is everything, and the context, of course, for us is that underneath us are the everlasting arms, and I can never despair because of that. In other words, God has not abandoned us to our own devices.
Yeah.
Where sin abounds, there does much more grace abound, says the Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And we should not forget the framework of understanding all of our problems. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the context of a loving God who likewise judges, but he loves us supremely, and he gave us his Son. The Son, and here's another image that used to help me in preaching always to stay balanced, that his Son went after the one lost sheep.
Amen.
You know, that's like the good shepherd, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to redemption. And that is the frame in which we live and move and have our being in God. And so when we talk about problems here on Redeemer and other things, this is only one side of it. The deep truth, or as C.S. Lewis calls the deep magic, the way God is working mysteriously underneath us and around us and for us, is captured in that image of the everlasting arms holding us.
Amen. We're talking with Pastor John Vance today. Speaking of another pastoral issue that affects a lot of our Roman Catholic friends, and I really mean that, they are our friends, but even broader than that is the selection of a pope. Their pope just died, Pope Francis. I like to refer to him personally as a communist. I had no affection for the guy because I think communism is against the ways of God. But anyway, he was a human being nevertheless, and they need to select another pope. Any commentary on that?
This pope came from a different background. I think maybe, if memory serves me, the first pope that was a Jesuit.
I think you're right.
As a matter of fact, the papacy historically has looked askance at times at the Jesuits. They were known for their intrigue and behind the scenes manipulating and so forth. So I'm not casting aspersions on the Jesuits, but that's been the historical situation for the church. And he was the first Jesuit. And, of course, he comes out of the radical politics of South America. He's an Argentinian and of Italian descent. And he was radicalized through liberation theology. Obviously, he was very sympathetic to liberation theology, which not only took place in the Roman Catholic Church in South America, but also Protestantism as well. And it affected the Christianity there and was very strong. And liberation theology has Marxist leanings, of course.
Sure.
It's Marxist. Let me put it bluntly. It's Marxist Christianity.
Yeah.
So Christianity on top of Marxism. So it's at heart radical and undermining. And some of his rulings and understandings, now they're not rulings. He can't change the Bible. No pope, even when you have, you can speak ex cathedra, meaning from the chair on matters of faith and morals, does not mean that you can speak on political matters and be correct. But he did all over the place, and of course, even members of his own church do not understand that the Pope has no more authority than you or I have in ordinary circumstances in terms of our opinions about politics. But they conflate that, thinking that this is one who's speaking authoritatively, and the left-wing part of the church, of course, has gravitated to him and supported him, and so is the secular media. The New York Times and Washington Post couldn't praise him enough under certain circumstances. But he's undermined, in my opinion, and many cardinals believe this, he's undermined the traditions of the church that stem from the Bible, traditional teaching about morals, about marriage, about economics and all of these matters, and it has not been good for the church, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Well put. I hope they do pick a good pope, because it has an effect on this world, and to say it doesn't would be very ignorant for us. Moving on, going back to pastoral, I remember Pastor Vance years ago. I had an operation, and it wasn't a terrible operation. I had my gallbladder out. I think it was about 25 years ago or so, and you and Roger Verdesi, as I recall, one of the elders at the time, visited me, and I really appreciated that. And it was in the hospital on Benedictine. I was recovering. And one of the things about Benedictine is that years ago, and that was a Catholic hospital, one of the nuns or whatever came on the PA system, and they would have a prayer. As a patient, you are conscious of the grace of God in Christ. And again, we're not Roman Catholic, but I appreciated that. Do you recall what it was like in those days?
Well, the time that we visit you, it just brings it back to me at this point. I had forgotten about that. It was not on my mind in the least. But now that you mention it, things are beginning to
form again. It's like that hospital moved from their good moorings and was taken over by a bigger group or whatever. And remember how that they were a hospital that upheld Christian principles, and they would not allow abortions. And so I kind of long for those days.
Well, that's true. Yes, I remember. And I should mention to you something about Roger Verdesi. His father was a priest, Italian priest in the Catholic Church.
Interesting.
And Roger and his father, he was of course, kind of hounded out of Italy, and due to his stance, he had obviously Protestant leanings while he was a priest, and he came to America and settled in, I believe it was the Bronx, and he began a ministry there, an independent Protestant ministry, and Roger played the piano for him in the services. Think of it in the Bowery-like setting, you know, of Italian immigrants here who were struggling, and he had a ministry there. So Roger was the perfect person to come to the hospital with me.
Well, I loved Roger. Yeah.
Oh, he was a marvelous man.
I miss him.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I think about him often.
I'm looking at the clock. I don't know where the time went. It's like already out of time. We got just less than a minute left. Maybe you can encourage the folks not to give up hope while things around us are moving kind of quickly.
We talk about problems. That's the nature of life, because in this world, we have them, and that's why Jesus came, to redeem us from our sinful inclinations and actual sins. I mentioned Roger Verdesi. I would love to have gone to one of his father's services in that Italian community where they spoke Italian and they played music and they heard the gospel.
Amen.
And yeah, we've been talking a lot about Catholics and Protestants. We have to unite at a certain level and support each other simply because we believe the scriptures, we believe what Christ has said, and we have to stand together in a society that is opposed to both of us in a mighty way.
Well put.
And we see it through some of these rulings. And so we share a common faith in Christ, and that's the most important thing.
Well put. Pastor John Vance, my dear brother, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.